Good morning. If you're following along with an outline today, just make a note. I want to make you aware that we will probably get about halfway through that today, and so we'll continue it next week. So don't be alarmed if things seem to be going on for a while and we're only halfway down the outline. When I was young, I remember wishing that I was different in a few different ways. It's what we all experience, I think, growing up. I wish I was a little more this way or that way. I always wished I was taller when I was young. And not only was I short, but I was small for my age. So I wish I was taller, bigger, more athletic. I wish I was more outgoing. I was very, very shy as growing up in school. I was an introvert, still an introvert. But there were things that I wish were different. Do you remember being young and wishing I was a little more this or a little more that? It's something we all experience. It doesn't go away as we get older. Don't we still, even as we grow older, still have things about us that we wish were different? Maybe something in my life I wish was different. We might wish we were darker or lighter, have more hair or less hair, dark hair, light hair, straight hair or curly hair. I'm amazed at you ladies. I'm amazed at you. Do you know they make irons that will flatten your hair? Let me talk to the guys a minute. They make irons for these ladies. If their hair is curly, it'll flatten it. If it's flat, it'll make it curly. Would you believe that all the ones with curly hair want to flatten it, and the ones with flat hair want to curl it? Can you believe that? Anyway, we may wish we could think quicker. We may wish we could remember better. We may wish we could understand things more, be more outgoing, or be more comfortable being alone and being still. We are made in God's image, but we are not made perfect. Amen? Made in God's image, but we're not made perfect. I'm driving home the other day and walking down the street in my neighborhood is two females. One that looks one of typical size and one what's called a little person. Now you stop and think for a minute. If you were born with that abnormality, what would life be like growing up that way? What would life be like living that way? I'm sure there have been times when that individual I saw, I don't know her, but I'm sure there have been times, maybe countless times, that she wishes she were like the average woman. Conjoined twins. You ever seen a show about conjoined twins on television? It's hard for me to watch. When I was a child, there were members of our congregation growing up, and they had a daughter, and the daughter's age was, she was older than me, but close enough that I thought about her, of course, noticed and recognized her. She was severely mentally handicapped to the point that she could not do anything for herself, really could not even communicate. What would that be like? What would it be like to raise a child that required that kind of help and attention? We may have things about us that are not what we wish they were, and it's just how we, these are just our genes. There may be things about our life that maybe they are part of our genes, maybe it's a combination of our genes and things that have happened to us, or maybe it's just things that have happened to us. But we all have problems, is my point. We all have problems. We all have things we wish were different. You may have anger problems. You may have trust issues. You may have confidence problems. You may have sexual temptations. You may have sexual addiction problems. You may have sexual attraction problems. Same-sex attraction that's unwanted. You may have gender identity problems. You may have PTSD issues, anxiety, greed. You may struggle with gossiping and being critical of other people. It just seems so natural for you to be that way. You don't like it. You may have depression problems, codependency, victimization issues, a drinking problem, a gambling problem. Did you know the highest rate of suicide among addictions is with gambling addictions? We live in a world that says gambling is harmless. You may have a gambling problem, may have control issues, you may have abandonment issues. And if you don't understand any of those problems or relate to any of them, you may have pride issues. I figure we all have some issues, right? If you think you sit in the pew here among people who don't have issues, but you do, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because we all do. Everyone has struggles. Everyone has things in their life that they wish were different. Things that aren't quite right. Or maybe things that are a complete mess. And you can categorize these into three different ways. Some things we can work on and we can change completely. Some things we can work on and change to a degree. And there are things in our lives that we can just cope and manage. But we all have problems. Many things that we feel or we want to do or we have urges to do, problems, they may be normal. Do you know that? Some of your struggles, call it a temptation, call it a tendency, may be very normal, but that doesn't mean it's moral. There's a difference between normal and moral, right? When I drive, a lot of times I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I don't have a reason to be in a hurry, I'm just in a hurry. It's just how I drive. Call it my nature. I hate when I get behind people driving slow. I mean, the speed limit might be 50, and they're driving 35. And I think, folks, you're supposed to drive 50. Amen. Speed limit 50, drive 50. Now, I know that's not true. But it just irritates me. I mean, I want to say things. I want to do things. I'm thinking, Elliot, that's not good. That's not good. And what's in your heart right now is not good. But, I mean, I'm, you know, wish I had a bigger vehicle. There are times, you know, I hate tailgaters. I'm driving, Dad, forgive me, I'm going to tell on you a little bit. Driving Dad to the doctor's appointment the other day, having some dizziness problems. We all have problems, having some dizziness problems. Driving him, so vertigo, and driving him to the doctor. Well, I'm trying to not make the vertigo worse. I'm trying to drive carefully, slowly, right? And this woman's tailgating me. I hate that. You know, I'm thinking, hey, you should have left the house earlier. You know, what's your problem? Go around. I finally did pull over, stuck my hand out the window. Go, just go. Anyway, so I know I contradict myself. We have thoughts and feelings and urges that are normal, but that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's moral. The definition of normal is conforming to a standard. It's things that are usual, typical, expected. Okay? Moral is principles of right and wrong behavior. Now, we sang a song earlier that said, there is a God, and He is alive. We are people of faith, are we not? We are people who say we're not here by accident. There is a Creator. He is alive. He is the God of the Bible. That's who I serve. That's what we stand on. Okay? There are people who don't believe that at all, and they're atheists. And don't ever let someone of that position of non-belief make you feel dumb or that your beliefs are simply based on fantasy. Because the atheist has great faith that all of this came about by accident. And the more science looks at what it would take for life to exist on earth, for the universe to exist as it does, the more science looks at that, the greater the odds are that that could happen by accident. We are people of faith who say we have a Creator. Our Creator determines what is right and wrong. We don't do that, right? Morality doesn't change, does it? God is the one who determines what is right and what is wrong. What is normal changes. True? What is normal changes. What was normal 50 years ago, it's not normal today, is it? What was normal 100 years ago is not normal today. And vice versa. So what's normal changes. What is moral does not change. Think about the beginning. God made Adam and Eve. Things were right. Okay? God guided Adam and Eve in what was right. And even though Adam and Eve did sin, Cain killed Abel, you had sin as they were cast out of the garden. You had sin early on, but you had godliness. You had people following God. By the time of the flood, look at Genesis 6:5. By the time the flood comes, things are in utter chaos. Things have changed. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. It wasn't great in the beginning. It wasn't great early on. It got worse, though. It got worse and worse and worse, and sin became more prevalent. Sin became more normal, more typical, more expected. Wickedness to the point that God said, forget it, I'm starting over. And God sent a flood. What is normal changes. What is moral does not change. What is believed to be modest changes. What is morally modest does not change. See, what was believed to be modest 100 years ago is not believed to be, that same standard of modesty is not true today, is it? But God's opinion of modesty has never changed. True? God's definition of modest has always been the same. Always will be the same. What was believed to be classy at one time in the past in our society, not believed to be classy today. That has changed. The normal has changed. But moral classiness, right and wrong, has not. What was believed to be good changes. What used to be bad now is good and fine, and what was once good now is bad. But moral goodness, what God tells us is right and wrong, does not change. Has not changed. There are ways about you, there are urges, impulse, desires that may be normal, but they're not moral. If I'm struggling with the temptation to have an affair, that may be normal. True? Maybe a lot of other men also find that tempting. Normal, but not right. If I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, that may be normal. There may be a number of others also with that trial. That doesn't make it right in God's eyes. True? For me to act on that. If I feel as a born male, I feel female, that may be normal in our world more and more. True? That doesn't make it moral, though, for me to try to live as a female if I were born male. I may struggle with greed. I may want to make a lot of money and do a lot of personal things with it, and none of which really includes blessing, you know, being generous to God or others. I may struggle with greed, and that's normal, not moral. I may struggle with drunkenness, normal, not moral. Romans 7:15 is a passage that I think we can all relate to. And it's wordy, and it's honestly a little challenging to read. So let's see if I can do this without too much trouble. Here's what Paul says. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Can you relate to that? Do you have a sinful nature? Do you have a nature that's selfish, that wants to do certain things or act in certain ways that they're just not right. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. When we're tempted to do something that we desire and we give in to that temptation, that may be normal but not moral. Now, what I love about this passage, not only can I relate to it, and I'm sure you can too, but if you flip to the next chapter, which remember, when Paul wrote this, there weren't chapter breaks, so it's one long letter. So this idea continues into chapter 8, and verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Now, early in chapter 8, Paul talks about the fact that God has given us Christ to solve this problem of our continuing sinful nature. That we have freedom in Christ through forgiveness of sins. True? So we don't carry around the guilt of every wrong thing we've ever done. But then Paul goes on to say what the answer is. Okay, so I have brokenness about me. I have desires that are strong, but they're wrong. And Paul gives us the solution, and that is focus on what's right. Get your mind on the Spirit and spiritual things. Verse 6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death." And by the way, that's normal. Do we not live in a world whose minds are on the flesh? Do we not live in a society? Anyone else flip channels on the TV? Anyone else flip channels and see this world is focused on flesh, sinfulness? But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I want to make a couple comments. Flip in your Bibles to Philippians 2, 14. Philippians 2, verse 14 and following. I want to close with that scripture. Next week, I want to specifically get into the topic of transgender issues. It's one that maybe we haven't thought a lot about until, you know, a few years ago. Because it's becoming more a part of our life. Maybe it's regarding bathroom laws. Maybe it's regarding just our culture changing and seeing things more and more. And as Christians, what do we do? What is our position? What does God say on this topic? What is God's position? And how are we to be as Christians? So, one thing for us to never forget is this. Jesus came and died for all. All individuals are created in God's image, true? And all individuals, regardless of where they find themselves in a range of normal but sinful, all individuals, Jesus died for them. And God is trying to reach them, true? And therefore we are trying to reach them. But we have to reach them with the truth. So we come to them in love, in respect, but we have to come also guiding them to truth. Because they're living in a world that is not truthful with them, not being honest with them. We'll talk more next week about this, but in a real brief synopsis of what is true about transgender issues is this. God made them male and female. There are abnormalities in birth. There is a percentage of the population, 0.06, of the population who are born with both gender parts, private parts. Okay? That's different from transgender. But abnormalities in birth. Some are born with abnormalities. Born blind, born deaf. Okay? Some are born with tendencies, desires, and urges that aren't godly. And by the way, that's all of us, isn't it? All of us have a desire to sin. Some of our problems in our lives come about by things we've experienced in life. And so sometimes you look at a person's struggles. Remember, we began, we all have struggles. So we all have struggles with sin. Sometimes a person's struggles are from genetics, sometimes from environment, sometimes both, sometimes we don't know. The bottom line is we don't have to know in order to know what is moral. Right? Because what is moral does not change. What is right does not change. And so, in a synopsis of if I'm a person struggling, born male, but I feel female, if that's my struggle, the reality is, most likely, I'm more and more confident of this, I was probably born male, fine. Genetically and literally, I'm still male, but psychologically, I have an issue with feeling female. We'll get into that more next week. Our world is saying a couple different things. One thing, our world is saying about transgender issues, that if one is born male but feels female, be a female. Right? In other words, that the problem was with biology, how you were born. That's the problem. I think the truth is the problem is with psychology. Okay? That the birth was correct. Now, our world is also sending this message, and that is, if you want to do something, do it. If you feel like pursuing something, do it. You be who you want to be. Right? But what if who I want to be is not moral? What if what I want, if I want to have an affair on my wife, our society would say, you be who you want to be. God says, you don't want to be that. And so we all have problems, we all have struggles, and incidentally, God knows that. When we pray to God, He knows before we ever ask Him. But I want to end in Philippians 2:14, which says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. 2,000 years ago, Christians lived in a crooked and twisted generation. 2,000 years later, we live in a crooked and twisted generation. Because without God, you take God out of my life, I'm going to be a sinful person. True? But we are to live by what is moral and right. Among whom, so among this generation, you shine like lights in the world. That's our role. We are to love, we are to respect, we are to speak truth. And help people toward truth. I want to get into this more next week. But today, just remember, as you walk out of here, you have problems. God knows about them. God loves you. Let Him help you. But don't think that I'm the only one that has problems. Poor, pitiful me. Because we all do. There's someone who has them worse than you do. Let's close with a prayer. Want to have a prayer together and then an invitation. God, we thank You this morning for being our God, for making us in Your image. We thank You for what You've given us. Not a one of us asked to be born. Not one of us deserved life or the things we enjoy in life. With our struggles, we pray You would help us. We pray You would help us separate the messages we see around us in our world, what our world believes, and what You tell us is true and is always right. And we pray You help us in that. We pray You help us to love all people and those with struggles that we don't understand or that are difficult for us to relate to. We pray You help us to reach out to each individual in love and care about their soul. We pray this morning that You would help us to be an example in our world. Help us to be Your voice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, you may have something that today's message causes you to think, I would like prayers of the congregation about this. Or you may have something on your mind that's separate from that. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to help someone this morning. If there's a person that wants to give their life to Christ and become a Christian, have their sins washed away, if there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul?
Remember not
the sins of my youth.